This week is Parshas Matos Masei. So, of course, my usual disclaimer, there's no way we're going to get through the whole Parsha. Okay? Parshas Matos begins with the rules surrounding the Darim, which we're going to skip. And we're going to go straight into the narrative, which is the beginning of Perek Lamed Aleph. So it's on the bottom, page 902 in the Chumash. And it's Vayidaber Hashem Moshe l'Emor, Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'ei Samiganim Echarti Yasef L'Amecha. So first of all, it's just a very classic idea that Moshe is told you have to take vengeance for the B'nei Yisrael from the Midianites, and then afterwards you're going to die. And it's just a beautiful lesson, because what Moshe could have done is Moshe could have said, I'm only going to die after we fight against Midian. Okay, we'll push off that war. Right? Moshe wants to make it into the land. But anyway, he doesn't do that. He does what he needs to do in order to make sure that this war will take place as soon as possible. And he says, Vayidaber Moshe l'am l'emor, Moshe says to the people, Heichal tzu me'itachem anashim latzava, arm men from among yourselves for the army, v'yu al Midian, and they will go up against Midian, l'seis nikmas Hashem b'Midian, to take Hashem's vengeance against Midian. And then he gives instructions. How many people are going to be going out to fight? Elef lamate l'chol matos Yisrael teshchul atzava. 1,000 per tribe, which either means 12,000 fighters, or if you include Levi, although it doesn't seem that Levi is included, but if there is, Pinchas is out there as a Kohen Mashuach Milchama. So maximum 13,000 people. And then we're told the war had some casualties, which we've actually seen in the past. And when we talk about Parshas Balak, we looked at it last week as well. In Pasuk Ches, we see that the Malchei Midian, the kings of Midian, are killed. Evi, Rechem, Tzur, Hur, Reva, the five kings of Midian, and Bilam. Zohar Chaim is going to go into some of these details and to try to understand what is being mentioned, and more specifically, some of the verbs and the way in which the instruction given to Moshe and the way in which he goes about following that instruction is given to us. Okay, so let's take a look at the Or HaChaim on the top of page 1, and we're going to start with Pasuk Aleph. Okay, it says, Kashe Imadibur Bali Moli Yisrael Kanishma. Right? If Moshe is being told that you have to tell this to the Bnei Yisrael, what does the pasuk say? It's given in the singular. Nikom, Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. So it should be given in plural. Right? You're telling Bnei Yisrael what to do. We're familiar with this idea that dibur, sometimes it's referred to as lashon kasha. Here he's calling it lashon az. Right? It's a language of some kind of strength. That Moshe was trying to talk to God regarding his own demise. V'lon espayis, God wasn't really listening. Amar lo Moshe, li roi misa shor isi niflaos. Maybe that's Bitmiya. Right? Moshe saying, I'm supposed to die. I've seen amazing wonders. V'fai sa Hashem bezit tivar. And Hashem gave him two, appeased him in two ways. Im ata rotze l'chiyo shanim rabos, lo yiru Yisrael v'mapalas oivehim. He says, if you want to live many years, Moshe, and that's kind of what I was hinting to before, then Bnei Yisrael are not going to see the fall of their enemies. Because Midian has to fall, and then you're going to die. And what else is going to happen? Veloti chavosh Midian lifnehem, and Midian will not be defeated. One is Mapalas Avihem in general, their enemies, and the other one is Midian specifically. Chemin shen espayis Moshe, yikash l'negash baruch hu. And once Moshe was okay with it, then Hashem was like, wait a second, I just tied Moshe's death to the war of Midian. So the Baal Midrash basically, through saying this, really answers the Orachayim's question. Why is it the word dibur, which is strength or difficulty? The first difficulty is for Moshe, over his death. And the second one is, right? And Hashem had difficulty with this. Because, I don't want to say in Hashem's haste, but God, in tying Moshe's death to the war with Midian, basically said, it's done, my friend. Okay, that's the first thing. Next thing is, in Pasuk Beis, So we have the Omro Achar Tiasef Alamecha. Okay. So I skipped a little bit here. All right, so we'll just look at this. Omro Achar Tiasef Alamecha. Nearly, he's Kavan Omarlo, Shekodim Lachain, Eno Shalem Atikun, Yosef Elamov. Okay, so before this war, Moshe is not Shalem. What's going to be the Tikun? When he's gathered to his people. Perish Yelo Monea Bedin, Vimnanu Migeshes Navshalem Akom Mosheva. Sheikra Amov, Keduad Shemidenu Mishpat. So there's something holding Moshe back from having a full din. And what is that? Kial Kol Yavi Hashem Mishpat. It's Yuvav Nisharam Eod, Nisharam Eod. Amoneah Hu Lufisha Shalim Hazeh, Nisrafeb Maasazim Rivulos Adavar. What was holding Moshe back from becoming Shalim? What happened with Zimri? Who got Shalom? Who got the bracha of Shalom and Shlemos? Pinchas. Because Pinchas knew what to do. Moshe did not.
Because Moshe was married to a virgin.
Well, no. It's no.
They say that that's why he didn't.
That's one of Zimri's. Right. But Zimri. But first of all, I'll give you two immediate responses to that. Number one, Moshe married Zipporah way before the giving of the Torah. This is in the 40th year. And number two, Moshe's been separated from Tzipora, to the best of our knowledge, based on what Miriam said. Or Moshe's, I mean, that's the Midrash. I mean, assuming that Miriam was talking about Tzipora, which is a different question about what the Isha Kushis was. But anyway, so what do they say? Sherafu Yada V'Ikbir Hashem Alav Shalona Kamat Shama Pinchas. Moshe didn't do anything until Pinchas did something. Well, the Zek, she gives Mamkir Asa Amar Hashem Alav. You didn't do what you were supposed to do against those who were doing wickedness. So you're going to have to do it against Midian. Okay, that basically Moshe comes, you know, full circle, so to speak, in doing this. This is his own tikkun for not standing up at the time when Cusby and Zimri were doing what they were doing. And that, by the way, opens an interesting question. So we'll accept that for what it is, that Moshe is, the war with Midian is Moshe's tikkun for not doing what he did, for not doing what Pinchas did in the Zimri story. Okay. But the question is, what did Midian do? Okay, we're saying that there's vengeance against Midian. Ubalak ben Tzipor Melech le Moav, right? Who are the women who were involved? Benos? No, Benos Moav. That's what we saw. We saw that last week. We went into great detail about that. So what's Midian's involvement? Just because Balak was a Midianite, that's Midian's involvement. Okay, so
more than that,
right? It has to be more than that, right? So we'll see somewhere. Okay, all right. We move on. We look at Pasuk Gimel, and now the Or HaChaim goes into Or HaChaim has like a bunch of questions, and the bunch of questions are based on the language of the pasuk. So if you look back at Pasuk Gimel. Okay? So we already translated that. Lemor means to say. So when it's Vaydaber, Hashem Moshe Lemor, Hashem tells Moshe Lemor to say. So I got it. Okay, Hashem, Moshe says say the Bnei Yisrael, but Moshe's telling the Am, Lemor. I mean, who are they? I mean, if Moshe's telling everybody, who are they going to tell it to? Everybody heard it. He says to them, Hecholtzu, right? Separate people. Why doesn't he say to Yoshua, all right, recruit, just like he did by Amalek? Okay, Gam Shein, there is a Nechog. Me, Mepistel Das, Kizah, who she zaris, Atzmon, and says, Recholchad Yamarlo, Alay, Mitzulas, and how is he going to do it? And if he's going to go ahead and recruit, people are like, I know it's Mechamas Mitzvah, I want to go. How do you decide? How do you decide these things? Right? Because especially since you're saying. Who are the 1,000? Per shade. Gimel, Amro, V'yu, Amidyan, Shailon, Lamar, V'yu, Chamu. What do you mean, they're going to be on Midyan? They should fight with Midian. V'yilachamu b'Midian. Teskip the Dal. Dal lama shino medibrei Hashem ki Hashem elav nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael. Who amar nikmas Hashem? He should have said exactly what Hashem said. Hashem said do nikama of b'nei Yisrael. He says it's the nikama of Hashem. The vengeance of Hashem. Hashem Omro, hey, sorry, hey Omro, that's not Hashem. Hey, number five is Elof Lamateh. Lam Loshalach Kalam, Asas Kam Bagoyim. Right? Why only 12,000? So he answers the question that I asked before. Why is it only 12,000? Say, what?
To show the names.
I'm saying 12 as opposed to 13, but why only 12,000? Let it be everybody. Okay, so this is what he does now. In the next few paragraphs, he's going to answer these questions. So Hashem, there's a righteousness in this battle. So it's not like it's with Amalek, it's self defense. With Midian, this is a just war. You have to see the way you're supposed to go about taking God's vengeance. L'zeh nishakeim. V'lo rotzeh l'bchor nashim al yidei azol. L'ez kim yodei anashim. Asher lo chashu makshav ozav. L'lo tav makshav umazol. Right? You can't just pick random people. Right? Yehoshua, b'char lanu anashim tzei lachim b'amalek. What happened? B'nei Yisrael were attacked. Okay? They weren't doing anything. So with Amalek, you could just pick random people. That's fine. But here, the people, this is a just war. Not just a just war, it's a righteous war. Okay? So the people who are going to be doing this, yes, a nais, miracle, 12,000, agree. But you can't just pick anybody. You have to pick people who are not involved in the sin. You want to say the cheshbon elof l'mateh. You're going to volunteer. That's why it's heichaltzu. The volunteers have to be people who know about themselves that they were not involved in the sin at all. Okay, that's why it says Lemor. They have to tell each other, hey guys, the only ones who are going out to war are people who are not involved in the sin. Again, the sin is attached to Midian because of, you know, as much as I say Benos Moav, but he's saying I guess the indicator is who sent the Benos Moav?
Midian.
Okay, and that's why it's a war against Midian. Okay, Vulai.
That was the advice and belonging.
Right, correct. Vulai, Kiramas Kamatevas Lemor, and Yan Ha'arayus. Tom Ramzal, Lemor, Zogili Arayus. Okay, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. That the word Lemor indicates Gili Arayus, especially in this case. Sha'amarlam Shatrichin Shuchalatsun Nikiyim Me'achit. Okay, so the people who are going to be going out to war, these are people who need to be free of sin. Skip to the next paragraph. Okay. V'yamro v'yu amidyan. Remember, our question was why not v'yilachamu b'midyan? They should fight. V'yisbar alpi ma'ashamru anshe emes shebechinas hakadusha yisod haliyah bechinas haklipa yisod hayirida. Okay, then what is going to give these guys a chance to succeed? Their holiness. And if they have a klipa, and the klipa is a shell. It's a Kabbalistic notion, but it's something which brings them down. V'chashadam chote v'nidrag v'ochel karat afil bo tiv'a v'yisodel ashpilo. Moshe is saying, V'yu al Midyan. How are they going to be al? Al means lamala. Al means above. The only way they can be lamala is if they are holy. Who prides that parashtum, parashat kisi says, Rosh b'nei Yisrael shachote yachuf ke'agamon rosho, yomei beget arshifus. And somebody who is humble could be me'al, could be above. Look at the last five words, or six words, el yu beget aratov sha'amdum lamala. The way they're going to be above Midian is if they are humble. And that is a key ingredient. V'omro, next paragraph, L'seis nikmas Hashem, gamze me'yishakmus la'tzogas ha'nekamash, t'zibosam. I'm at the next paragraph. V'omro, got a neck of it, L'seis nikmas Hashem.
Page two.
What is essentially the third paragraph, even though it's the second full paragraph. Okay, the beginning of the page was a continuation of the previous page. Okay, L'seis nikmas Hashem. This is Moshe's genius. What's the vengeance of God? Because these people caused the bitul, the nullification of Hashem's mitzvos. Uritzonoyis Barach, and God's will. It's not because a bunch of people died from Israel. You're not taking vengeance on people who died because they sinned. It's about destroying the opportunity for mitzvah. God did say to him, you want to take vengeance for Bnei Yisrael? He didn't tell Moshe, tell the Bnei Yisrael, take Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. He didn't say that. That's what God said to Moshe. Nikom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. El Shadvarav, you and Moshe, Nikom Nikmas, right? It's for you, Moshe. You got to get the job done, whatever that job is. And Moshe and Yitzchak came. Moshe was very wise. So yeah, Bnei Yisrael are going to carry it out, but they need to understand what's driving them. And what's driving them is Nikmas Hashem. Od Yisbar Kasut, next paragraph. Azad Der She'ein Tzarek Shilach Muheim El Yusham Alihem Perish B'Shvilam. That it's not that they need to be fighting, but that they need to be there. For their benefit, batam, or for their sake, batam lasis nikmas Hashem perish nikmas nikama rather she's nakem Hashem medium bem seusam. God will do it through them as a medium, and that of course is indicated by their numbers. Al derech amro Hashem yilachim lachem. We just need to put bodies down on the battlefield. Once we have bodies on the battlefield, God will take over. Yamar kasuv yimashum yafei Yisrael perish kol mi shehayu yodeh beatzmoshem. Maybe it's a kol maser atzmo davar an shebo lechal alef. And everybody who knew that he was worthy to be there could go down there. This is also the wisdom of God to say, we're limiting it, only 1,000 per tribe, that's it. And this way, people who aren't worthy will not be embarrassed. Oh, I can't go in.
So can Shmuel.
Right, because numbers.
Now, this also teaches about hestados, that you have to do your effort and God will take over
for you. Halavai, amen. But it's also a beautiful, you know, lesson. Remember when Gideon, this is, you know, it's a similar story with Gideon. Gideon takes 300 men, and he gets rid of a whole bunch of people who, you know, maybe they've worshipped idols in the past, but he's only allowed to take 300. I don't remember if he's only allowed to take 300. Maybe that's all that
he
remains.
Takes
300. All right, so I'll do it better. Mia ish ha yarei v'rach ha-levav, right? It's after you first say, you know, mi banabai is me, right? Give everybody an excuse to go home. And let it not just be the fraidy cats. Let it be that people can jump on the bandwagon and of a good excuse, of a Torah-ordained excuse. Okay, so now the question that the Or HaChaim is going to address in Pasuk Tazayin is, take a look at Pasuk Tazayin. Okay? So they fight the battle, but they take the women captive. Okay? And Moshe is a little upset. Look at the top page 906. Moshe says, wait, you let all the women live? Hey, Nehina. They were the problem. Right? It was the women who were involved. Now, this is a small, you know, contradiction, and I kind of hinted to this before, because when the Torah describes them as Benos Moav. And Moshe is clearly talking about the Benos Midian. So what is it? So, yeah, I mean, maybe you could say that it's the Shluchei Midian. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. But Moshe says, you know, how did we let all the women live? They were, in fact, the problem. Okay? They're the ones who caused the magefa. So now here's the question. What caused the magefa? Two major things happened.
Right.
Okay?
So the men did to the women.
Right. So it's whatever the men did to the women. Okay? And Baal Peor. But now here's the big question. Did the men have sexual relations with the women beyond Zimri and Cosby?
Or did they just worship the idol?
Right. Okay? And what caused, therefore, the magefa? So the Archaim is going to give us his teretz. Okay, and if you go back to the psukim,
well, maybe the notion that you want to have sex with me, you have to bow to Or.
Right. So that I think we actually saw that with the Or HaChaim, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe. Well, I don't remember. I gave a class about Baal Peor on Shabbos. I don't remember if that was the one. Okay, but basically, what we saw at that time was that the women used Baal Peor as, like you said, like the enticement. Okay, exactly. You want me? Let's start with my idol. Okay. So, what caused the magefa? That's the question. Okay. So, take a look at what the Or HaChaim says. Pasuk Tetzayin. Sarchadas kavanas omro hein heina. Was hein heina. I mean, just say they were. Oh, lama herich lamar b'dvar bilam al dvar peor. Why is it mentioned? Bilam again and peor. Mizbeir adavar b'yir lamashigo pinchas tzdiki elyon shalchi mo b'dvar zeh. Okay, what was the, I don't know, shigigo means it sounds like a mistake, right? Achain, Pinchas v'anshei etzava danu v'turum mitam shanoshim kufufos hein lebalehem la'avosehem v'anusim heima. He says, first and foremost, you have to understand that the women that were involved in these stories, they were anusim. You know what anus is? Somebody who was forced. It was the men who said, get out there and go entice the B'nai Yisrael. So Moshe thought that it was because of that they let them live, because they felt badly because the women were forced. Anusim, they were forced. Right? They didn't. You think the women wanted to do this, but their men said, "Go." So Bishlama, im lo you osim elam asas nu shabalem alav. He said, if they were only engaging in, guess what, the oldest profession in the world, right? Enticing the men. Right? Think about what Yael did. We don't know what Yael did, but Yael brought Sisera into the tent, okay? At great sacrifice in order to get him to lower his guard. So if that were the case, Yesh Laduna Sam Lizchus. Ella, rather, what happened? Shehem asu miatzma masa achir, masha lot sivu osam gedolehem, shu maisa peor. The Archaim says, if they had just taken their clothes off, because that's what their men told them to do, then yesh ladun l'kav schus. But the fact is that they brought in idolatry, which nobody commanded them to do. Nobody was forcing them to do that. They brought out the poor idolatry and they said, "Vow, that it's the women who caused the idolatry." They, on their own, they pulled out the Avodah Zarah. But Dvar Bilam, Bem Tzavus, Sibas, Atzas Bilam, Sheyatzen Lafkir, Beno Sein Liznus. And it was the Dvar Bilam on the one hand. Bilam was the one who said, give up your daughters. Okay? Vitimsa, Shalom, Ruzal, Shamar Bilam, El Inyan, Aznus. Right? Bilam's idea was this Nus. Kiyomram, Shama, Elohen, Shal, Elu, Sone, Zima. Because he said, their God hates licentiousness. Okay? Vehem hayu siba l'msor ma'al ba'ashem al debor pa'or. Shelo hayu rotzim l'shama lehem el mishtachu l'pa'or. They said, we're not doing anything until they're at least, right? It's like the opposite of what happened with Shechem, right? We're not joining you until you guys circumcise. They're saying, we're not consorting with these men until they bow to our idol. So that's why the women were guilty. Okay? That's what the language. That's why the language hein heina. So it's I don't know if it's a new insight for you, but I found it to be fascinating because it lends itself to the suggestion that the only one who actually was involved in
sex
in Znus was Zimri.
No, but aren't they saying but the guys did have a reserve, but of course, then they wanted to have sex. Right?
Right, but did they get that far? That's the question.
You mean teaser?
In the end, I don't know the answer. But we can certainly debate it. Okay. All right, so that's what I wanted to do with the war with Midian. And then, of course, they go ahead, and the next thing which
you
have...
Nothing that says you have to say they did not have sex.
Again, there's more on the Parsha, you know. But I didn't get that impression. In other words, it doesn't really go in that direction from what I read here. You know, I didn't really skip all that much. He focuses on the Avodah Zarah. What can I tell you? Okay. The next thing which we have here is Paraglon Base. Okay. Now, we have, I do just want to mention as an aside that the rules of kashering previously used metals is mentioned here.
Right.
This is the source for kashering. And then we move on. Okay. Okay. Paraglon Base. Okay. So it talks about in the end of the previous chapter, it talks about the whatever things which they take from Midian when they take the spoils of the battles. And then in Paraglon Beis, we have the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. Okay? Umekne Rav, ha'yad l'vnei Reuven v'l'vnei Gad atzum me'od, v'yir u'as eretz ya'azer v'es eretz gilad v'yinei makom m'kom mekne. So the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they have a lot of cattle, a lot of animals, and they look where they are, which is in the area of Sichon and Og, and they say, hey, we got a lot of animals. This is a good place for them. And so they say to them, Pasuk Gimel, Ataros v'divon v'yazer v'nimra v'cheshbom v'alale usvam unuvo uva'on. Ha'aretz asher ikasham l'fnei adas Yisrael, eretz b'knehi v'lavadecha m'kneh. They mention basically all these cities, and they say, ooh, look, the land that Hashem has struck, it's a place for animals. And guess what we have?
Animals.
Hey, it sounds like a good plan. We would like this place to be for us. And Moshe says, your brothers are going to go out to a battle and you're going to settle here. Why are you going to make the children of Israel, why are you going to move their hearts from wanting to cross over the river to the land? You know, that's basically saying, you know, that's what the spies did. Don't make that mistake again. And he gives them a little bit of a history lesson. And so he tells them, don't go that route. If you want to go, you got to fight with everybody. You have to, you know, you've got to lead them in battle. And that's in fact what he says in Shavi'i here. And in the meantime, they say in Pasuk Tazayin, okay, so we're going to build places for our sheep, and then we're going to build cities for our children, and we'll build what we need to do, but we won't come home until Bnei Yisrael settled. Yeah, what?
So, why is Hatzisha and Menashe only pop up at the end? Why is that?
Because you want to make sure.
All right.
Manasseh was the
bridge. All right, so let's take a look at this. Okay, all right. I want to look at this Ataros V'Divon,
which is where.
Okay, top of page 3. Okay, the one point that I'm going to make, actually, more than anything, I mean, we'll look at this first paragraph, but the one point that the Orach Chaim keeps on focusing on is how Moshe, you know, both sides are being very, very wise in their choice words and how they go about making their claims. Okay, Ataros V'Divon. Tzarech L'das. Aleph. Lamo Tzarech L'Brei Kol Ha'Aros. Why are they mentioning every single city? And they didn't just say, "Hey, you know, this land is a good place that Hashem defeated." Mm-hmm. Go to the next line towards the end of the third line. Beis Omro Ha'aretz Asher V'Chi Ayulef Nehem Aretzos Achirim. I mean, just say this land. Why do you have to? Well, there wasn't another land that had similar quality. And if you want to point out, oh, this is the stuff that Hashem, you know, struck in one. Who doesn't know that? Okay. Okay. Skip to the next paragraph. Not meaning skip the next paragraph. Go to Asher Al Kain Nischakum B'nei Gav B'nei Rubim, our Rishon. V'nes Nuchivva L'Gimel Devar Menitzkarim Amriyim She'ilo Sam Asher Amru Ataros Ha'aretz Asher Yikah Hashem K'neged Tana Aleph. She'aretz. Okay, so in the part which I skipped, there are two or three claims which he's making. One is that this land belongs to everybody, so why are they asking for it? It doesn't belong to them alone. And the second one was, how do you know that the Bnei Yisrael are going to conquer all the land so quickly that you're promising you're going to get back home? Okay, so let's take a look again. Keneged Tana, so I'm in the second line in the middle. Keneged Tana Aleph Shearetz Yishal Kolos Yisrael Yeshma Marzet Shuvel Zet Shelol Chuaris B'derech Tevel Amar Alolanuhi. They're not saying it's our land. They're saying, hey, but by the way, the truth is that we didn't take the land at all. We're asking if we can have a part of something which is God's. The argument that Bnei Israel are going to be fighting, we're talking about land that God struck and God defeated. We didn't really do these fights against Sihon and Og. That wasn't, we were there, but there's no question who won those battles. It was God. So why should we assume that the rest of our brethren are going to be fighting battles? We're talking about land that God gave to us. Okay? And finally, right, so look at the second to last line. So there's nothing to talk about. Fear of battle? I mean, why? What fear of battle? Nobody's fought a battle. Okay? Where are we going? Yeah, okay. Also regarding their claim that you don't like the land. Nastu chuv ma'amashar gashem. Right, they said, God, what do you mean? This is land that God conquered. He quotes the Rambam, Vizela Shono, Eretz Yisrael, Mura B'chol Makomi, Eretz Shekav, Shemelech Yisrael, Novi B'das Rov Yisrael. What is considered to be Eretz Yisrael? Land that was captured with a melech, or a prophet, with all of Israel. Aval Yachim Yisrael, Shev, Chachol, B'chol, Shalasan, Makom, Afilu, Min Ha'aretz, Shinitna, Le'avma, Inu, Nekres, Eretz Yisrael. Any place that a specific Shevet or an individual conquered, that's not Eretz Yisrael. And further, the Rambam writes, skip to the next line, the portions of the land which were never part of Eretz Yisrael because they didn't defeat the seven nations. Okay? So, the argument that this is that they're not going to appreciate the land. Look at the last line, second to last line. And so the argument that they're making is that this land does have kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe, you're saying that we don't appreciate land that's not part of Eretz Yisrael? Hello, this is the definition. We were all there. We all saw it. Next paragraph. According to the view that says no, this is not part of the land because it's before the kibush arutz. They're saying this is not. It's exactly not what you're talking about. You're talking about something where people have to actually fight. We saw God do this, and if God does it, it's in a different category than what people actually conquer. And if God made it happen, then guess what? This is the land. Next paragraph. And that's why they had to mention the names of the... Oh, sorry, did I go ahead? We're on page what? Page 4. Okay, second paragraph. This is why they needed to mention the names. You're saying we want a chelik of something which God God brought us, and that's why we're mentioning the city specifically. We're mentioning specific cities as opposed to saying this land in general, because it in fact is part of Kedushas Haaretz. Some other land that is not these specific cities is not included in what we're talking about. We want these because we saw God conquer them. Okay, so in other words, mentioning them specifically indicate to us that this is Kedushas Haaretz, but everything else that's not mentioned here is not Kedushas Haaretz. V'yomro Eretz Meknehi. Yes, Rabbi.
No, that's why you see that the people who went and they conquered the city and they built it, or they built it up.
What, Yericho, you mean?
No, all the
whatever other places.
Yeah, so that is not that.
Right. It needs to be something which was done by a kibush rabbi. V'yomero eretz miknehi, v'lavadach mikneh, niskavnu lasir taina acheres v'hi. The next thing that they were trying to remove in terms of an argument from Moshe is achar sh'naskim l'chol ta'anos sh'amru, adayin kol shev Yisrael yavo v'yomar ta'ana satzman l'tol saretz, ta'ana satzman, so it goes to l'chol shev Yisrael. Right, what they're trying to do is they're trying to say every Shevet could technically make this exact same argument. You know what? This is God's land. It's Eretz Yisrael. Boom, 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 boom. We want to settle here. Zamru ein Shevet acher tzarech la kamoshet tzvichin heim la l'fi shehi Eretz mikneh v'lahem yesh mikneh rav. Okay, and this is, right, they said that no other Shevet has what we have, which is lots and lots and lots of animals. And so, therefore, this is the point which they are trying to make. And this is, in fact, what the Or HaChaim does. And he keeps going back and forth. I didn't want to give it to you because I kind of thought that the point was made. But they're saying that and Moshe's responses are also very wise. And that the Or HaChaim just develops that theme further and further through analyzing this segment. That Moshe is kind of aware of the weaknesses of their argument as much as he recognizes the strengths of their argument. And it's vice versa. It goes back and forth. Okay, so that's how you can look at that. If you want to see more of what he says, just follow in the section. Okay, it is a double parsha. So now we're going to look finally at Ela Masei. Okay, Ela Masei. And in the interest of time, we're just going to look at the paragraph which is in bold. Okay, and it's a very simple question that the Or HaChaim looks to address. He actually does not have a whole lot on Parshas Masei. If you look here, this is on single pages, but if you look here, as much as I went through 12 pages for Parshas Matos, on Masei there's 1, 2, 3, 4, not even 3.5 pages in this. Okay, that's what he has on Masei. So in Parshas Masei, and we don't have to look it up, but we'll just look at this one paragraph. So of course, all of the stops along the way, in their travels, are mentioned in the Torah. As a matter of fact, as much as the Torah skips 38 years, this is the only indicator we have of things which they did during the 38-year period, because we get a sense of places where they stopped. And some of these places we've seen before, but some of these places we have not seen before. And so, getting their travel log is helpful for us to at least get. Except that we can't identify any of these places, but it's helpful for us to see that they were busy and they were traveling, with the exception of being in Kadesh for 19 years. Okay, take a look at.
There were some places that were overnight.
Right, exactly. He mentions that. He mentions that. Okay, so take a look what he says. That's in this paragraph. In these two paragraphs, which we're going to look at. Achen is baral pi divrei. Anshe Emes. Okay, Zohar Chelek Beis, Kufnun Zayin Aleph.
That's another show,
yeah. Okay, so this is from the Zohar. She'amru, they said the following. Shalich as Yisrael b'midbar, ha'isa levarer nitzotzei ha'kedusha. She'ana as Yisrael b'liyal, achona b'midbar, ha'shamein, she'sham konam mekomo, mekom nachash, saraf, ve'akrav. So the idea of these travels is that each one of them had in its, as part of its goal was to clarify, bring out the sparks of holiness. Okay? Because what's a midbar? A midbar is a wilderness, right? Sometimes when we refer to Jewish communities that have nothing or that had nothing, right, what do we say that they were?
Midbar.
Or that they are? It's a midbar. What do you need to do? You need to bring in holiness. That's what you were talking about, Rabbi. Sometimes they would camp in a place for a year, and sometimes they were there for 12 hours. Because they were basically bringing holiness to this midbar, depending on the place, depending on what it was. Turn the page. Zulas Kedusha Shlema. The only power that can achieve this is the complete Kedusha. And through this completeness, they can get the general and the specific. Kedusha Shlema Yeshchina Yisrael V'HaTorah. How do you get to complete Kedusha? If the right intensity or combination of Yisrael, Torah, and God. V'mechaberes HaPratus. Haim Shishim Ribo Nishamos Kedoshos. And what gets the... So again, remember what he said. So what do you want to get? Mechaberes HaPratos is Shishim Ribo. Right? 600,000 Nishamos Kedoshos, individual Nishamos. Mechaberes HaKlalos Moshe Rabbeinu Besod Moshe Amo. That there's something about what gets the general holiness is the role of Moshe Rabbeinu. Kihu ilan, because he is a tree. Shemimenu notzitzu nishamos shishim ribo shayusham. That from him, that's where the sustenance of the 600,000 that were with him came from. Because what does Moshe provide for them? Torah. Okay, water. B'shchuna shochein abira. B'shibrom militavos. Ol ubiro biro atzum. Okay, so in other words, what Moshe is representing for them is something extremely powerful. V'chafize tachlis ha-ma'asehu k'shenosim o'yinosim mehem kol adome l'min ha-kodesh l'obuzman ha-chanaya sh'adayin lo nasi imo davar. Right? The word Eila negates any other travels. These travels were infused with Kedusha empowering sparks. Okay, nothing else could achieve what was being done here. Kadosh Yikar She'ein Aroch Alav Elav. There's nothing else which could be compared to this. V'gam Shekidmo Avos V'darchu Mekomos V'asu Chalkam V'birurei Nitzotzos. The Avos went through these parts several times in their own travels. I mean, think about Avram and his fight with the four kings and the five kings. Think about their treks from Ur Kasdim across to the land, going down into Egypt, etc. They've been these places, and what they did, asu chalkam bibirurei nitzotzos. They started planting these seeds of holiness. Lo yigil the geter zeh, but they didn't achieve this. Yomarkas, well, I mean, how many people were they? Three, right? Yomarkas v'atzmo tam yule masos eile v'yishem shal b'nei Yisrael shor yotzim eretz Yitzrayim v'tzarv v'bikura barzel shi eretz Yitzrayim. Okay, basically, he's just saying that this is the Tahalich, their journey, was a process, and the process is through which they all grew, and through their experience, and of course, we know that those who left Egypt died in the wilderness, but what they were doing through their travel and through getting around was they were removing whatever it was, piece by piece, that would hold the Bnei Yisrael back from getting into the land.
Okay, so
Upachos minus parze, you know, begeder ashlemus. Right? You needed to have 600,000. That's why we saw in the census last week that their numbers are 600,000, a little over 601,000 and something, 730, I think it was. And so they needed to achieve that as well. Okay, why did I bring this? I'm readily admit that when the Or Chaim goes in this route, I don't completely understand what he's talking about. But I share it because what he's showing us is something which is unique to Am Yisrael, at least in our understanding of what Am Yisrael is and what they represent. And that is the concept of Kedusha. And so whatever these travels represented, wherever these travels were supposed to be, it's something which is unique to the Am Yisrael experience. And so, you know, you could say, oh, what if another nation wants to travel through the wilderness and achieve whatever the Am Yisrael achieved? The point is that it doesn't happen. No other nation had, Moshe Rabbeinu, no other nation had the 600,000, the requisite souls, whatever their experience was supposed to be. That's what Am Yisrael had, and that's what they achieved. And so the Or Chaim is showing us that the Masa'os are not something to be taken lightly, because they represented something which, even for those who didn't make it into the land, they were helping to cleanse the experience, the places, and the individuals who ultimately were going to enter the land. I think that that's an important reminder of what Am Yisrael is supposed to be, a nation who is supposed to take Kedusha and infuse it into their experience, Tachas Kanfei HaShechinah.